Can you all see me?
Good.
Hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to go through a couple of demonstrations with the phone, do some basic things like record a sermon, push a webcast out, upload it to the site, and do all that completely on the phone. So the setup that I have here might be of some interest to some of you. I mean, we're not really going to talk about this today unless you want to, but I use a Blackmagic. I'll go ahead and just, as a preliminary thing, show you what it looks like. This is my video switcher. It allows me to have a variety of inputs into the back, one of which is this phone. And there, of course, is my camera there. And so it allows me to bring in my camera, my phone, and my computer, whatever else. There's four inputs, and then I can switch between them by just hitting this button here like that. So you can see that screen, you can see that screen, you can see I have an overhead camera, and then I have myself here. So this is something we can talk about at another time. It's really something that I would highly recommend for churches if you're interested in multi-camera, and it's not very expensive, and it's a very plug-and-playable device. It's an excellent device. We tried this for the first time last week. I think it went okay. This is meant to help you. I can't stress that enough. With all the support calls that we make or that we take, it's becoming clearer that churches are really having to figure a lot of this stuff out on their own, which is why we're doing our best to make this available. Thinking of questions to ask, that is the big reason why we want to have it via Zoom versus just an uploaded video, because we actually want to field questions, and there's things that we're not thinking about that you can be asking us. But the purpose of today will be to just run through some demonstrations on the phone, and I'll go ahead and switch to the phone. But the very first thing I thought I'd do is just quickly show you how to record audio, record a sermon, and then be able to upload it from the phone. What I would just recommend for people to do is just use the Voice Memo. You can use GarageBand. You can use anything that records audio. But here's Voice Memo. And I'm just going to go ahead and record something here. So this is a test. This is a test. This is just built into the iPhone. You can use anything on the Android or the iPad. I would obviously recommend you having some sort of a microphone to bring in the audio into the device. If you just go to Amazon and type in iPhone adapter mic, then it will, I mean, these are the sorts of things I'm talking about. It's a $10 adapter. It plugs into the Lightning port, and this is your 3.5 millimeter jack for any microphone. If you have a nicer mic, maybe like this one here, you might want to ask Amazon for something with XLR. XLR is a little bit more of a professional grade microphone jack, and there's plenty of adapters for that. So you have your audio recorded, and then I'm going to press these three dots here, and that's going to allow me to save it somewhere. So you have to save it somewhere. That's going to go to files, and I just put it on my phone. Hit save. I'm going to go ahead and replace this because I did a test previously. And that's it. And all I'm going to do now is go to the website, Sermon Audio. If you go to the dashboard on the website, you can just bookmark it. It will take you to a page like this, which is really this page. You'll see it's actually the same page, but because we're on a small screen, it converts it to something small like this, but it's exactly the same page. And you go here and you hit Create New Sermon, which is that top button, just like so. And it's asking for you to upload your audio or video. I would recommend that whenever you upload audio from your recording here, unless you've already trimmed it in your editor, I would recommend that you upload it with Advanced so that you can trim it. You need to trim it so that it starts to play right when the sermon starts. And that's for the benefit of the users. And you look for the file. There it is, testing. And it's uploading right now. And this is where you can trim it. And you can see here where you can move this playhead. You can just trim it like so. And then you hit apply. And it's pretty much done as far as the uploading goes. It will be pretty fast because it is just audio. You can see that it's processing right now. And if you can scroll down here, you can see the tracker, where it is in the system. And there you have it. It's uploaded completely from your phone. And you can put in a title here, of course. And you can select the speaker. And then you can just go from here and publish it. Live webcasting. What we do is we recommend using an app. It's a free app. And that is right here. And it is called Larix. This is an app that's available on both iPhone and Android. The first thing that you're going to do is you're going to set it up so that it's talking to a Sermon Audio. It's pushing out using your stream key. And the way to do that is you use that little button at the very top right there, and that's the settings button. If you tap on that, it takes you to connections. Tap on connections. I have two of them set up already, but I'll just show you what it looks like inside. So if I click on edit, I'll go inside classics. You just give it a name. You give it the URL. You will get that from the dashboard, and I'll show you where that is. And if you take a close look at that URL, it actually has the stream key attached to the end of it. This is where a lot of people will be confused. Some apps, depending on what app you use, the stream key will be in its own field. It'll say stream key. But in this particular app, it's all sort of combined so that you have to put the URL together with the stream key. And then indicate whether you want audio and video or just audio or just video. So you can actually have an audio-only webcast using this app if you don't care to show video. I mean, a lot of churches maybe are just not set up to have video. Let me show you before I go too much further where to get this information, the URL and the stream key. That would be in your dashboard to the webcast section. So that would be here. There's your stream key. You just copy it. And there's your server URL. You just copy that. And like I say, in this particular app, you have to combine them. So it's the server URL first / stream key. But if we go back to the app, you can see that there it is all together. When you're done, you just hit back, go back. And what you want to do is you actually want to go to capture and encoding, which is right here, and just make sure that your settings are correct, bit rate and so on. So just make sure your bit rate is set to 2.5. You shouldn't need to go any more than that. Resolution is 1080. Don't go any higher than that. So if you have a little bit of a slower connection, then just reduce those settings. Bring them right down. It'll be fine. And I'm going to go ahead and hit record. And what you'll see, if I go to the web page and you go into the dashboard, you can actually see that it's streaming out. And there it is.
I use Larix Broadcaster as well. I see you have two connections. Can you live stream to two connections at the same time?
Well, I think you can using Larix. I haven't tried it myself. You're talking about pushing it to Sermon Audio and Facebook and YouTube, et cetera, right?
Correct.
Right.
You can, but you need to watch out for your...
Right. So if the app will let you do that, that's fine. But your biggest problem there is going to be your network speed. You have to be really careful about that. We have churches that call in and wonder what's going on. And the first thing that we'll do is that we'll get on there and we'll do a speed test on their bandwidth. And, you know, you have two numbers, right? You have a download and you have an upload. It's the upload. You are uploading a video to us. And so that number is usually a lot smaller. Down in the lower left corner, it says, see how it's sort of fluctuating? It says 2.4 megabit, 3 megabit. You have to have enough bandwidth well above that. So you have to, if I am specifying a 2.5 megabit stream, you really need to have something like 4. You know, I would say if you don't have that much, you just need to drop your own setting, because the problem will be that you will have dropped frames, you'll have disconnections, and it'll be a poor user experience. It's much better for the user if the quality is a little degraded, but the stream is steady, versus trying to have the highest quality and it just keeps cutting out all the time. So I would definitely recommend staying well below what your stated bandwidth is.
So it's a newer iPad with a different connection. Do you know what connection I need to take this microphone into that iPad?
Well, what's the iPad? Is it an iPad Pro?
It's the newest one. So, it probably is the Pro.
Well,
the newest
one. You'd have to make sure. I have an iPad here. It's a new one as well, but it's not a Pro, and the connector is different. It's a Lightning connector. Does it have square edges, the iPad?
Square edges, yes.
Yeah, okay, well, that's the Pro. So basically, that's going to be a USB-C connector on the bottom of that. The microphone would just plug in straight into the USB connector. You just have to have an adapter to make sure that it goes into the C connector.
Right. So I have to have an adapter from the USB to USB-C. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And I should be able to use that microphone.
You should. Okay. You absolutely should. I mean, if it's a standard USB-based microphone. The mic that I'm using right now, this is actually an XLR mic, and I just have it plugged into a soundboard, which talks to the computer via USB-C. So USB is a perfectly good way to bring audio in from an audio source, whether it's the microphone itself or whether it's a soundboard. We have something that we've called the Listen Line. We've partnered with a company here in the States. There were a lot of different pieces that needed to be lined up for something like this. It basically allows anybody who has a regular telephone to call in and tune into your webcast. Doesn't matter if the webcast is video, audio only, and doesn't matter if they don't have any internet. If they have a telephone, then they can tune into your webcast. And the beauty of the system that we have here is that it actually integrates with your webcast manager, so you can see those people come in. It shows up in your analytics as well. Many of you have already asked, does it work in Canada? Does it work in the UK? And no, it does not. So this is the webcast that's being pushed out, and you can see it.
What could be more glorious?
So that could be a church service. And the way that we advertise this is on your solo site, you can see the different ways that people can tune in to your sermons. And Listen Line is one of them. So you can see it right here. Just by dialing this number and entering the church code ID above. That's that. And I'll go ahead and dial in to this webcast, and you can hear what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Sermon Audio Listen Line.
Can you hear that?
To listen to our 24/7 radio stream, press 1. To listen to a specific church on sermon audio, press 2.
Right. Pretty straightforward. So we're going to...
Please enter the 5-digit church code ID. We will now connect you. At any time, you can press the pound key to return to the previous menu.
The next day, then, he saw the...
There you go.
...in the waters. And
it's pretty straightforward.
On the third day, he saw...
What we actually have found... I just turned the volume down, but what we found is that the elderly especially really appreciate this, because no matter how simple it is for these devices nowadays, whether it's a TV or a tablet, it still can be a little bit confusing to navigate even a basic user interface. But they can have speed dial on their phone, and they just tap that speed dial, and it dials it, and they know how to type in the 5-digit code, and they can go straight in. That's the Listen Line. And over here, if I go back over to the screen, you can see we have one Listen Line call. You see that?
And God the Father looks at the obedience.
Obviously, it's going to be telephone quality, but at least they can tune in, and they really appreciate that.
Facebook changes their parameters, as does YouTube, almost weekly. So every time you come in, there's a different format. That's where sermon audio come in, because you guys want us to do it.
I'll tell you one thing. I've been using YouTube as well. I don't know if you had this experience or not, but with some of these platforms, they don't seem to make it very easy for you to embed your stream onto another website. I know in the case of YouTube, they changed their rules on that. Just to be able to embed a live webcast on your own site, without having to go to YouTube, without having to press go live, without having to activate it on their dashboard, seems to be complicated, as far as what I could tell. The way that we have it set up is obviously, you know, really, really simple, where webcasting or the embed, we just allow you to embed all day long. You can be pushing out a stream to Sermon Audio without having to go to the website, to the dashboard, to do anything. I don't know if you all have any YouTube experience. Is that not true? You have to press the go live button in order to make it go live?
Yes, that's true. And managing the YouTube stream was like a secondary thing. And if you ever had to stop it, you could get a new URL, which was really, really messy. I think YouTube is geared for a one-time event, not a recurring weekly sermon.
Right, right, exactly.
You're saying Sermon Audio can be embedded. Does it also archive, or is that on our website, or is that a separate thing we need to put in there, or should we archive it on our website, or just the live sermon, or depends on what we're trying to accomplish?
If you can stream to both, and that would be very good, but in order to embed, it just seems a lot easier, from our experience, to use our embed tools. On the webcast manager, you can click on this link over here, and if you click on that, it will take you to our embed editor, which will allow you to very easily copy the code, copy, and then bring it into a sample page. Let me see if I can just bring this up really quickly. So I'll just paste that into there, refresh, and there you go. See, that's how easy it is to embed. And
Browning,
play it straight
and
in
the
there.
The lifeguard reaches
and it just works.
The lifeguard doesn't say, now there's the short.
And by the way, this player also works with AirPlay to your Apple TV as well as Chromecast. So all of that does work. And then once you are done with the webcast itself, then you would simply go to the webcast manager, look at the recent webcast, click on the Add To button, and you would create a new sermon from that. New sermon draft, give it a title, and trim it. You can do things like fade in and fade out, which is always a nice little touch. You can find the frame that you want, use current time, so there's that. You could also upload a custom image, and then you hit Add Media. The webcast is now saved, and you can continue on into the sermon editor. You can see it's processing. There's no need to upload because we're using what you already had on the system, the webcast that was archived. It's processing. There's the tracker. You can see where it is in the pipeline. You can finish filling in the sermon details and then just publish it. So, yes, you can use YouTube by all means. Sermon Audio is geared for sermons. You are going to have things like the Bible reference or a speaker or a sermon series, these sorts of things. I think it's probably the simplest of any platform.
Can you walk me through, if I find the sermon on Sermon Audio and I want to upload the video to that, can you show me the steps on that? I want to attach the video to the sermon.
So basically to attach a video or any media, it could be PDF or whatever, to an existing sermon, you go to the sermon manager. That's where you go for anything sermons. And from here, you can find all of your sermons. So you can page through this, you can search, you can filter by speaker, by whatever. So there's plenty of ways for you to find what you're looking for. There's a bunch of things you can do over here, incidentally. You can view it online. You can click on the embed to get the embed code for that sermon easily. You can unpublish it. You can duplicate this sermon, or you can delete it. And by the way, you can do things in batch as well. So you have the ability to select all of these and delete or unpublish or remove from series in batch, which is very handy. But let's go into this sermon here. Let's say I wanted to add audio to that or video. I'll click on edit. And you can see that I have no media attached to the sermon, even though it's been published already. But there's no media. And I just click on this anywhere here, and I find the video that I want to upload, and I upload it, and away it goes.
Ours is recorded in AVI. Do we need to have MP4 to upload?
No.
Or will it take longer to encode or anything?
AVI is fine. It's a bigger file, obviously, but we can take AVI. It will take a little bit longer on our side, but you could try it. You can see how long it takes. But we also have other ways to upload files. Like we can accept files via Dropbox. We can accept files via FTP. We're working on OneDrive right now, so that if you have a batch of files that you just want to drag and drop to our FTP server, and you know FTP is very robust, and it'll auto resume like if your connection drops, and especially when you're talking about very large files, it's very handy. And so if something might take all day to upload, you don't want it to break in the middle and then have to start all over again. So there are other ways to upload, but this is definitely the easiest because it's just using the web browser.
I know you have to end here in a minute, but you just mentioned two other things, FTP and Dropbox. So once we upload by Dropbox, where do they go and how do we find them?
Right. I will definitely talk about that another time, but it's there is a way to do that. The short answer is if you name your file by the sermon ID, this is your sermon ID for this. If you name it with that sermon ID, it will find it, and it will attach itself to the sermon if there's no media uploaded already. So if you already have media there, it won't do it. It won't override it. But it uses the sermon ID. Now, if you don't have the sermon created and you want the system to create it all for you, there's a way to do that as well. And we rely on the tags in the file, ID3 tags. There's some file naming things that we have a convention for, but definitely can show you that another time. People use that for bringing in an entire library of MP3s onto Sermon Audio. They want to just dump maybe several hundred of their MP3s from wherever. They could do it very easily using FTP or Dropbox.
So we upload them. You'll do everything from there?
Oh, yeah. We automatically publish it. We assign the speaker if that's in the tag. So we have a very clear way of tagging the files. And if it's all tagged correctly, then it'll just bring them straight in.
Where's your guide for tagging? I know you need the ID. You need the name.
I just posted it at that link right there in the chat. Go ahead and go there, and it'll show you.
Gotcha.
Now, the tagging only works for MP3s. It does not work for videos. So videos are a little different.
Right. Videos are different, but it's especially useful for MP3s.
Okay, so the tagging doesn't work, but the uploading does.
Yeah, uploading can work still. But if you want it to auto-create a sermon with proper tags meaning a speaker is properly applied, Bible references, and all that, then MP3 files are the only files that have this concept of ID3 tags. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but we depend on those ID3 tags in an MP3. For videos, we don't have any kind of similar concept. All we have is a file name. So there are some things we can do with the name, but if we don't have the proper tags, we just use defaults. So if we don't have the speaker properly tagged, we'll just put a speaker name of various speakers. Or if the title is not there, we'll just put in something like untitled or whatever. So it'll still work. You just have to clean up the data a little bit afterwards.
Right.
Oh, yes. I don't remember who mentioned that. Maybe it was our friend from the UK. But the ability to immediately create an MP3 file from an MP4. Was that you?
Yes, that was me.
It's there now. So there you go. there's no option for it. We just turned it on across the board.
Thank you.
Yes. So we talked about it internally, and we thought, that's a good idea. Anyways, it should be there now. Obviously, the video still has to be encoded first, so that does take a little bit of time. But as soon as the video is available, the MP3 will be generated.
I think you just said, so we could upload an MP4 and you will create the MP3 for us.
That is correct. So all you need to do is upload the MP4, and as soon as we encode that properly, an MP3 is automatically created for you. Well, if there's no other questions, we will let you go. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you very much. Thank you.